Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rhyming and spreeing and spreeing and criming.
Next on Eternal Dirtles.
But now I go. I'm keeping up with the Joneses.
Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to all of our Patreon supporters out there. Thank you to the Dirtle Maniacs. If you want to be a Dirtle Maniac, go to patreon.com/eternaldirtles and help support the channel. It keeps things going. It keeps things updated. Thanks so much for watching. On with the show. Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me as always, Phil Bleckman. Phil, how's it going, man?
Okay, Zach, so Jace has reawakened because
he's back.
He embodied Ashiok, tricking everyone in Oko's crew to break into the Fomori vault to get a thing that we don't know yet, but it was all set up by Jace and Vraska. What they need out of the vault, we don't know. How they got out of the whole Phyrexian thing of being Phyrexianized, we don't know. But Ashiok ain't really there. It's all Jace. Jace doing all the stuff with the things. Okay. So, yeah. Are you criming? You gonna commit some crimes for us?
Yeah. So, I guess we should talk about what crimes are first. I don't know that any of the cards that we're going to talk about are crimes. I think, actually, technically, some of them are crimes. But crimes, anything that, like, targets your opponent or his stuff. So, think of, like, if your opponent has True Nemesis out, and everything that he has is True Nemesis, it's the opposite of that.
Yeah, you're not criming True Name. Yeah. You couldn't, no better way to explain what crime.
Yeah, I feel like I really brought that down to like the granular level. It really broke it down in terms of things we all know about.
You sifted it down to everything it's not. Perfect. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Tales of Adventure. Go to toamagic.com and use the code DIRTLES for 5% off your order. You'll be directly supporting the show. And you'll get the entire order in one package. No more waiting for several packages. That's toamagic.com, code DIRTLES for 5% off. So let's start by talking about Jace Reawakened. That is a two-mana planeswalker. We used to say don't sleep on three-mana planeswalkers, but we're saying don't sleep on two-mana planeswalkers. This card cannot be cast during the first, second, or third turn of the game.
We should specify your first turn, your first, second,
true.
Or third turn
this
of the game.
Is true.
People
yeah,
have
yeah.
been flipping out about the word "your" in there, your. And being like, "We got it, fam."
All right, we're gonna flash him in. Okay, so I guess you could technically flash him in on your opponent's first turn if you really wanted to.
Wow.
Sure, but anyhow, three mana planeswalker. Plus
two
one
mana.
Is draw
two
a card.
Two.
Sorry,
two mana
planeswalker. Three loyalty planeswalker. The plus one is draw a card, discard a card. So loot. The plus one, the second plus one, is you may exile a non-land card with a mana value of three or less. If you do, it becomes plotted. You want to explain plotted?
Plotted is you can exile something for its plot cost, and then you can cast it on a future turn as a sorcery. Without paying its mana cost. So in this case, you just get to plot a 3 CMC for 0. So it has plot 0 for 3 CMC or less. And then you can cast it on a future turn as a sorcery. Now, if it's an instant, and if you plot an instant, you can still only cast it as a sorcery. Casting as a sorcery, the timing is tied to being plotted, not to the card. So it's not like Miracle where you can cast it by drawing it on your opponent's turn and then, you know, get around timing of the cards. Because you're casting it off an instant as part of the mechanic Miracle. Whereas in a similar way, you can only cast something as a sorcery. So even if you have something that says you can cast something at instant speed, you can't do that with plotted spells. As a sorcery is tied to being plotted.
I feel like plotted is the Magic Zoomer version of based.
You know, I don't understand why they... So you have plotted as it becomes plotted. And I understand that it's the way that keywords function in the game. But sure. It feels really weird that plot isn't a verb. Like, they have to use so many words to say it becomes plotted because it's intrinsic to the card, hence
plot this creature.
Yeah. Like, all of the words that are associated with plot mechanically are are part of the card, therefore it becomes plotted. So like, yeah. I get it when you like think down to a granular rules level, but it feels really weird to be like, okay, I'm going to exile this card. It is not plotted, instead of saying, I'm just going to plot this card.
But yeah, I mean, we're going to start saying plot. Like, we're going to use it as a
plot.
Verb.
This thing's plotted.
Yeah. For now on, you can just assume that that's what we're talking about. And then the negative six is, until end of turn, whenever you cast a spell, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. And let's remember, as stated in Double Down, when you cast a creature spell, it becomes a token if it's copied. So you can put down a creature and you'll get a copy of that creature. So yeah, it's a little deceiving because that looks like a one shot, right? But you can get a lot of value out of this.
You definitely can, but you can't. You're not going to get any value out of your second Jace, because if you cast a copy of the second Jace after ultimating this one, one of them will die because it does not care.
Well, assuming that other Jace is in play, right? Oh, you're saying one of the extra Jaces. Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
Cast a new one. Yeah, yeah, you'll get two Jaces. One of them will die immediately. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, don't cast Jace into this.
Jace isn't awake that much. He's still a little tired.
I guess there's a time when you might be like, well, the only way I can get value out of this is by casting Jace, plussing him, drawing a brainstorm, casting a brainstorm. You just have a lot of mana for this. Casting a brainstorm, double brainstorming, and then being like, oh, I found a ponder. I'll double ponder. Now you just up your hand by four cards. So there are reasons to do that.
Hey, man, who doesn't love a Pyromancer's Ascension? I have a question for you. Mm. Question. Given that this is the crime set.
Sure.
Was this not the ideal opportunity to just keyword the first ability, draw a card, then discard a card as loot?
Right.
Wasn't this the time?
Right.
This was the time. Just make that a keyword.
Come on.
Plus one loot. Come on.
You would
fam.
Just.
This
you would
is
think.
It.
Guys,
like, if you're not doing it now, you're never.
Put
doing
on
it.
Your thinking caps. All right. So let's talk about this card, man. You're hype.
I'm hype because I don't feel anything anymore. So, people were like, oh man, this is it. Like, you play this with Leyline of Anticipation, and then you can cast this as an instant on your opponent's turn. And I'm like, wow, man, that assumes that you're willing to put Leyline of Anticipation in your deck.
And you can't activate Planeswalkers on your opponent's turn. So you're just like getting
it. It's just a way to get around the offset of that first clause there, that first clause.
Sure.
But I don't think that that's really where the value is. Also, I think that people were sending me all of the different suspend spells. Like, first off, can we just talk about suspend for a real hot sec? Is suspend one of the worst mechanics ever designed?
It feels right up there with Cumulative Upkeep as far as like feel bads.
I ask this not because. It is not playable. Obviously, it is playable, but it's playable in the way that you only play it to get around the fact that it has suspend.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever, nobody has ever been like, oh, I'm so hyped to suspend this thing. Like, if you ever actually do the mechanic,
when you suspend, like, an ancestral, what is it? It's not recall.
Visions.
Ancestral visions. You're not like, woo, four turns. I'm drawing three cards.
Yeah. You know?
I've done it.
I wonder if there's another thing. Instead of suspend, you could just like staple literally any other kind of mechanic onto it to make it more interesting. Because they go back to suspend a lot. Like, they like using that mechanic a lot. And they also use it in a lot of ways where like a creature will like effectively suspend something, but they just won't say suspend, but they'll like exile it with counters, and then you remove counters, and then it functions the exact same way as suspend. But like, nobody's ever excited to suspend anything because it sucks to suspend it, because then you're like, all right, I guess I'll just never see this card before the game ends. And all that is to say, suspend sucks. But people were sending me like, hey, Phil, you can restore balance and you can ancestral vision. And isn't that sweet? And I'm like, well, if you're not trying to do the weird stuff by getting Jace out really fast with Leyline of Anticipation or whatever, which I won't be trying to do that, but tip of the hat to everybody who is. This isn't going to come down to a turn four. If you then turn a suspend spell that's in your hand that you haven't tried to suspend or, you know, break otherwise, is still in your hand, then you can suspend it, and then you get to cast it on turn five. Now, I don't know if you've played any games of Magic recently, but turn five is a luxury.
Turn five is, well, being able to play turn five is a luxury. you might still be on the board and in the game, but a lot of times you've lost by then. Like the game is unturnaroundable, you know. I think two mana Jace playing this thing on turn five or turn four, and then like getting the value on turn five. I don't know. My thing is like, this is fine. Like, I'm not like four oving this in my deck or anything like that, or any deck I'm playing. Let's be honest, I'm not playing this card. Let's say I'm on like a build like yours, like a miracle style build. You know, two mana for a looter is fine. You know, I think we always have to right now look through the lens of, do we want to be looting with Orcish Bowmasters out there, right? Like, if let's say your opponent just has an Orcish Bowmasters on the board, right? Do you really think that it's a good idea to be like, I'm going to play this and I'll loot, right? You need to have a card in your hand that you want to plot, right? So then you have to be thinking on your lines before, like, what is worth plotting, right?
Yeah, there's two things to say to that. The second plus one is you may exile a card, so you actually can still plus Jace without looting if you don't want to. So if you have a card that you don't want to loot, or you're concerned about looting for some reason, you don't have to. You could just plus it.
Just to see if your opponent wants to attack into Jace. game for life.
Yeah, you can freely plus. And I mean, to be fair, like, I do look at Planeswalkers as a source of life gain if they send creatures that way. So like, you can look at it in that way. Like, aside from like literal lightning bolt going at your face, you can look at this soaking up some amount of damage as a life gain spell. So I do look at that, and I have been looking for ways to play life gain in the deck in the decks that I play, at least, that aren't exactly Uro. So, you know, I am interested in this sort of thing. I think one thing that's going under the radar of Jace's plus one to plot something is it's mana fixing. It fixes your colors. And that's really interesting to me. Because you can, you can streak on basics and then cast something potentially off color, or get something in off color without having to like expose yourself to wasteland or a double colored spell that's like really tough to get into play somehow. I've been in and out of things like, you know, I get the Council's Judgment sucks, but like, I am an unexpectedly absent gamer, but I also hate playing basic planes because basic planes suck shit. So if I can, you know, get around the fact that I have a double white pit in my deck, that's kind of hot. And I've only been able to think about that pretty shallow since this thing got spoiled. But like, the benefit of being able to play this in a heavier pipped color deck, I think is pretty appealing, because that mana fixing is not nothing, you know? And I think that that's actually going to be one of the more subtle advantageous parts of this card. The second point that you made talking to Bowmaster, I don't think we can look at anything through the lens of, do you really want to do this because Bowmaster? Because I feel like you could look at literally every card,
for sure,
and then have that exact same idea. So I think you have to look at it like in the same way that we look at things like, oh, but you can't play this, dies the bolt, you know? Like, well, then nothing sees play, right? Or it's like, oh, you can't play this, you know, it just gets removed with Swords to Plowshares. Okay, then nothing sees play. So well, I think, you know, you have to look at it in a similar lens.
So coming from there, like, the first two, we've kind of gone over the first two things. The third one's kind of obvious, but let's talk about the text above all that stuff. Do you think this is even, we can even talk about this card if it doesn't come down until turn four? Like, let's be honest, no one's flashing this in on their opponent's turn. If you're doing that, you're doing a whole other thing, and God bless you. But like, in the real world where we live most of the time, unless you saw the last episode, that's a whole thing. In the real world, this is the kind of card that, like, you're gonna play on turn four, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, I mean, granted, it's the type of decks that I like to play that are trying to get past turn four, but I don't look at the top clause as anything other than preventing the, like, I think that's like very reasonable text to put on a walker that, you know, potentially could be busto in some potential way. You know, like, I'm like, if Ren couldn't be played on turn two, it's probably still in the format. You know, like, if Ren just had this text, it's in the format.
I would play Ren if it had this text.
Well, the benefit of this text, even though you can't play it on turn four, the fact that it's a two drop, which means that you can, you're holding up mana to naturally, and it's forcing you to play around the things that you are otherwise compelled to play as a four drop. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like,
how many times do you think when you cast this, does it like actually save you the game because you had to wait a couple of turns and just play into something stupid? Right.
Yeah, anytime I have this thought, it always reminds me of the best version of every control deck that's ever existed was when Lurrus was around, and it just forced everybody to cut all of the expensive bad cards that they shouldn't have been playing in the first place so that they could play Lurrus. So it's like they indirectly, including myself, cut all the bad cards just to play Lurrus, and then all of a sudden we had the best version of the deck we ever had,
yeah,
just because it was all the cheap stuff and none of the fluff. And I think that, granted, this Jace is probably more in the fluff zone, but I do like the idea that it's just like, okay, yeah, no clunky, expensive shit. Like, yes, I can't play this on my early turns, but like, as long as you're not planning a deck to optimize by playing it early, like, you're like, okay, this is going to be where I want to be on turn four. And so, I mean, use me as an example. The type of play patterns that I try and get to with my Counterbalance Miracles deck is I exactly want to get to a four mana, like, on turn four, I want to have Counterbalance with a fetch in play that represents Mystic Sanctuary. That means that I can counter any spell for zero mana for any CMC in my graveyard, right? That's
and you only have Thwart in your hand.
Right. The play pattern that I try and play to is I want to Counterbalance with four mana, one of which is a fetch that represents Mystic Sanctuary, so I can lock you out for zero mana, right? That's the powerful line that I'm looking for. And then in a similar way, if you're thinking, okay, what does Jace on turn four actually look like? What do I want to do on turn four? Like, if I'm doing something on turn two, do I loot, like, clearly there's madness implications because MH3 is going to hit. They just put out the promos for Vengevine and Hollow One. And also now Jace is doing a bunch of looting. Like, they're leaning in really hard that madness is going to be a powerful player in the new Modern Horizons Busto set. So it's like, okay, if you're also thinking, what do I do on turn four when this comes into play? Okay, I loot. What would I want to loot on turn four? What does that even look like? If I plot something, what would I want to plot and then cast any time that I have four or five mana? What does that look like? What are those cards? That's the space that I think is more appealing. It's like, okay, if I feel like I'm going to fall behind, does that mean that I want to play some type of catch-up effect, like any of those three mana wraths? Like, do we main board like Brother's Hood End or some shit that's just like a theoretical wrath? Or do we play like Wizards with like Flame of Anor and then Flame of Anor, like, you know, doing multiple shenanigans, but like also giving you time to like play a wizard that then your opponent's not going to disrupt because you can fire it off for zero mana? Like, who knows? There's a bunch of different aspects, but I think like you have to think, what is the board, visualize the board that you expect to see on turn four when you can actually resolve this thing, rather than how do I get around the first clause? Because it's so, I feel like that's a pipe dream, getting around the first clause. Like, the games are too fast.
Yeah, that's
like, what do I do? Am I just going to mulligan to four cards to get around the pipe dream? I don't think so.
I mean, you know, ostensibly we're clowns and someone's going to prove us wrong on that. But I think, you know, like, I think this is a card too. Like, what at best, what do you want? Two of these? Like, I honestly don't know. But you're going to play four. Okay. All right. Well, I mean,
I'm playing four, but I also have a win percentage of like 11%. So, like,
it's true. You know, well, Phil, when you buy all four of these, you should probably go to our sponsor, Tales of Adventure, and use code Dirtles to get 5% off, and you'll get all four of them in one package.
Wow, Dirtles.
Dirtles.
What was Dirtles? The promo code.
The promo code is Dirtles.
Pretty powerful.
So we've covered Jace. Let's talk about Tiny Bones, which I'm kind of excited about. Tiny Bones is pretty cool. Eternal Dirtles is proud to be sponsored by Moxfield. Moxfield is the best Magic the Gathering deck building website on the internet. You can create, share, and find decks from Commander to Legacy and even fan-supported formats like Pre-Modern and Old School. You can see all of our decks on our Moxfield. Follow the links below to stay tuned. One mana, you know, we're always looking for those one mana legends, right? So that we can get our Amber Moxes going. This is a one mana skeleton rogue with death touch. And it's a 1/1. It says, whenever Tiny Bones Pickpocket deals damage to a player, if you may cast the target non-land permanent from that player's graveyard, and mana of any type can be spent to cast a spell. So basically mana fixing. This is kind of almost, not completely, it almost has like a Ragavan-esque quality to it, but like in a fixed way.
Yeah, I mean, this one a little bit less. I mean, clearly not as powerful by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, not even close. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you know, powerful one mana effect, right?
Like, Death Touch might as well be evasion here too. Like, do you want to lose your guy, or do you want me to cast your Brain Sword? Right.
The only instance again that I think that this is going to be locked out is you have to assume that, okay, Death Touch, but Death Touch being able to get through in combat. So I know that we said, I just said moments ago that we have to, you can't look at anything necessarily in a Bowmaster world, but like Bowmaster checks this on both the front and back end in that like, it's going to check
one,
it
one
way.
Boom.
If you play this, blocked, it'll
boom.
Kill it.
Yeah.
And then it also will be blocked by the token army, and they don't care that it has Death Touch, because, like, who gives a fuck?
Whatever, we'll get another token army when you draw a card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think in the decks that would want to play this are also the decks that are going to be playing Bowmaster, and I imagine that unless there is some other payoff, like Mox Amber-esque, to, like, get ahead in some meaningful way, I don't think that this is going to make the cut. But it's a one-mana legend. You can't really write that shit off, so, like...
Yeah, it's a one-mana legend, and, like, I don't know, man. Like, if you get the value out of this, and then you, like, trade, you know, like, you just hold it back on defense, like, you know, it might be worth it. Like, this... It's just an interesting card. It's a paradigm we haven't really seen very much, is like, you can cast your opponent's graveyard spells for like, you know, the mana that they cost. Yeah. This is a format full of 1-2 mana spells. You may cast target non-land permanent from that player's graveyard. So, like, you're getting their baubles. It's permanence. So we have that to take into consideration. You're not, like, going to get a brainstorm, it looks like. But, getting a bauble or something like that is not the worst.
That's good. The other aspect that I want to draw to is that it does let you cast the spell without, but you can spend mana of any color. Eventually, they have to keyword that. You can spend mana as though it were mana of any type. Like, they just got to make that a keyword and save themselves half a text box worth of text. Yeah. But one thing to note also in the decks that might want this effect, we were just talking about grief. I have a new parody that's going to come out either before or after this episode airs that, you know, is for grief. And you can cast grief for its evoke cost out of the yard, if I understand this card correctly, the way that it says you can cast the spell. So you can cast it, and part of casting a spell from your opponent's yard is, if there's an alternate casting cost, you can cast it. It's not like Snapcaster that's granting it flashback, which has its own intrinsic mana cost tied to it. This thing is just saying you can cast it. So if there's a grief in your opponent's yard and you get to hit them with this, you can just pitch cast grief if you're also interested in that space. So, like, there are positional things sort of like that. I imagine that this sort of thing wants all of the same things that I imagine you would be playing with Dothy Voidwalker. Like, you would play Thoughtseize, and then Dothy Voidwalker can cast that shit for free.
Yeah.
I imagine that this is sort of in a similar space. Granted, they don't really work together because
they don't. No.
In the yard and there. But they want the same enablers, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there's interesting thought behind this. I think that, like, the way that the texture of the format as it currently sits, I don't see Tiny Bones actually making it. But I would not be surprised to eat my own words, because it's a one mana mythic. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, so the card I'm the most excited for is Insatiable Avarice. This is a one mana sorcery that has spree, and spree allows you to choose one or more additional costs. And I think we've established that you can't choose to do the same cost several times. But the additional costs are either two colorless and Vampiric Tutor. You don't have to pay the life. Two black, and target player draws three cards and loses three life. I am in love with this last part, because it's target player draws three cards and loses three life. This is a finisher if you have a Bowmaster in play. You're just like, what, are you not playing white? Cool. Are you tapped out? Great. I'm going to cast this. You draw three cards. Take three damage. My Bowmaster deals three more damage to you. My orc army grows by three. You know, that's representing 12 damage right there. And then you attack, you know, that's what, 14 damage? Like, you know, 12, sorry.
Three,
12,
three.
12 damage. Yeah, yeah.
Is it 12? Three, three?
So three,
11. Am I doing it
three,
right?
The Bowmaster has, like, the token exists, right? So that's one.
You're saying if the Bowmaster already pinged.
Yeah, if not if the Bowmaster pinged, just if there is a Bowmaster token on the board, right? So
if you have 1/1, then it's 3/3.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Then take three from the Bowmaster.
Right. So it's 3 from the card, 3 from the Bowmaster.
11.
4, it's 11. Yeah,
it's 11. Which is a lot. That's still, like, out of nowhere, that's a lot, especially, like, You're just like, oh, draw three, you're tapped out, and you're not playing Solitude? Cool. Take 11. You know, if they can't block, that's it's over.
I just want to say, as the resident Inflect player of the cast, it is hilarious that you couldn't cast past 10.
No, I don't understand how to do that. I'm like,
just kiss.
Do you know Phil, have you ever read Watership Down?
I have not.
The big Watership Down news for those of you who are into Bloomborough and are going to be hype about that, because I feel like there'll be some nods. Rabbits can't count past 5. That's why the main rabbit in the book, well, the second to main rabbit is called Fiver, because all rabbits in like a bunch after 5, they're just the fifth rabbit. If it's you, me, and 7 other people, every person after 5 is the fifth person.
That makes it easy. To imagine, so, if you only had to count to 5.
Yeah, it would be way easier to play Infect if all I had to do was count to 5. Yeah. Just one invigorate does it. So that's some fun lore for you for Bloomborough. Take that, put in your pocket. You might need that for later. We'll show this part of the episode if 5 becomes a thing in Bloomborough. But I don't know, man. I love this card. I love that it has 2 modes. I love that it technically has 3 modes, because you could do both if you have the mana.
Should also say, for the spree cards, they did say on the spoiler, the first thing that they streamed, like revealing all of these mechanics or whatever, mm-hmm. that you can't cast spree without paying for one of the additional costs.
This isn't a pyroblast that targets nothing. Yeah.
You can't do that. That's fine. You have to use one of the modes. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, prowess gamers.
Yeah, they said that the reason that they changed it from bullets in how they normally lay out modal spells to plus signs is to help you remember that you can't not choose one of them. You have to choose at least one to make it work.
Or they could have just made this, like, kicker. This is kicker.
It's kicker, of course. Yeah. All right, last one. But like, so this one, it's at least a 3-drop either. It's a 3-drop at minimum either way you split it. But otherwise, you get an Imperial Seal that doesn't cost you mana, or you get an Infernal Contract that you can point at your opponent. One last card I want to talk about. Now that we know what plot is, let's talk about Fibblethip on Lost on the Range. 1 blue, 1/1, 4/2. Look at the top card of your deck anytime you want. That's me. I'm all about it. The top card of your library has plot. Oh, shit. Now, the plot cost is equal to its mana cost. Just cast spells off the top of your deck. Put them into the plot. Next turn, you can cast them all for free. What I like about this card, Ward 2, it's always going to trade evenly with all of the removal spells because it's got Ward on it. Sweet.
Yep.
The other side of it is, if you plot a cantrip, that cantrip then gets cast for free to set up the rest of the top of the deck that you then continue plotting. So I think that this card actually has some pretty good implications for value setting up, because it's got Ward on it, so it's not immediately going to die.
Yeah. Who wants to play 4 mana to kill this guy off of a Bowmaster? Nobody.
Like, that's the hot stuff, right? Like, Ward 2, I'm casting this stuff. If anything, I'm really hyped about Jace, but the card that I'm actually most likely to be playing in significant numbers is Fibblethip.
Yeah.
Force
of Fibblethip. I mean, there's a lot of other sweet cards here. I don't want to go into too many of them, because we're going to do... Well, spoiler alert. So Phil, like we've been saying, Phil's going away for about a month and a half. I'm going to have Sahar on from Legacy Gambit doing the spoiler for Thunder Junction with me when the full set spoils. So I'm very excited about that. Sahar's pretty excited about it too. So that's going to be a fun replacement for Phil for that week. I have a list of like, we have a special guest every week that Phil's gone. You know, we're celebrating Phil's absence by bring on a different co-host every week. And it will culminate with the final episode on my birthday with your friend of mine, Nathan Golia.
So it's coming back. Everybody can rejoice that they won't have to see my face for at least however many episodes that is.
That's a lot of not talking about miracles long time.
The first guest co-host, immediately going onto the opposite end of the spectrum. Sahar is an Ancient Tomb Initiative gamer till she dies. we are on the opposite end, and you're getting the spoiler, you're going to get a whole different flavor.
And she's not even the first guest. I think Mike Flores is our first guest, actually.
Oh, yeah, Flores is coming on. Michael J.
Yeah.
So all of those guests will be sweet. Thank you to all of them for covering for me while I'm gone. For those that don't know, it's because I'm going on tour with a pro wrestling rock show that we will link to. It's called The Last Match. Check it out. It's going down the Eastern Seaboard. If you can take a day to go and see when we're in town, please do. The show will be sick. It's going to be awesome.
If you're gonna be if you're gonna be in Philly on May 11th, I'll be at that show. I'm gonna be you know, somewhere in the stands cheering this thing on.
If anybody wants to figure out where the show is going, thelastmatch.com. That's it. Very easy. Thelastmatch.com. You'll be able to find all the dates. You'll see. You'll know exactly where I am in time across and down the Eastern Seaboard. So that'll be.
With that, hey. You know, we're doing a lot of upgrades. We're doing a lot of work. If you want to support the show, you want to become a Dirtle Maniac, you can go to patreon.com/EternalDirtles. That's super helpful to me, helps and Phil. It helps keep us rolling as far as the editing is going. We're paying for editors now, so you're also supporting other artists, which is awesome. Big shout out to Mike and Pip for helping us out with those. And, you know, just... You're gonna get some early episodes, some other content. We're trying to give a little bit of value back to the people who have been supporting the show for a while. And of course, if you just like the video, you can support us by liking, subscribing, sharing, commenting. Just comment, say something. I comment on almost every single comment that comes in, as long as you're not being a jerk to me. If you're being a jerk to me, I'm just gonna erase it.
But if you're being a jerk to me, he'll still respond.
I will. So with that said, thank you everybody for watching, and we will catch you next time. Or I will. Bye, Phil.
Peace. Bye. Deuces.
For the gift that keeps on giving all year round, join our Patreon at patreon.com/EternalDirtles. And hey, check out this playlist we got up here with all of our interviews over the last couple of years. Some great people from the Legacy community, some really great guests.